Good morning, church. Welcome to CPC. From wherever you're watching, whether this is home for you or whether this is something new, we're glad you're here today. We're starting a new series today called Answering God, and we're learning from the psalmist of how they learned to speak and to dialogue with God in a world that didn't necessarily work the way that it should. And we think there's some ways that we can learn from them, and so that's what we're going to do these next few weeks. Today, we're going to start through this with the psalmist through the practice of lament. Lament. Here's the definition I want to give for us today about lament, is that lament is the language of the space between. Lament is the language of the space between. It's the space between a world that you know and a world that you don't know. It's the space between what's happening now and what's going to happen in the future. It's a space between one thing you're comfortable in and one thing that you're not comfortable in. It's a learning to live right in between the two. It's a lament is the language of the space between. And I think lament can help us right where we are, because this is kind of a picture of our world today, that we're living in the space between two different aspects of our world. First, we have the aspect of our world that we knew. We have the way that the world used to work that really isn't part of how things are operating right now. I mean, think about the loss. Think about the things that we've lost, that you've lost maybe during this season. You've lost significant and key moments maybe in your life or your family's life. Maybe there are weddings. Maybe there are births that you missed out on. Maybe there are celebrations or graduations that you missed out on. We've lost the sense of companionship and maybe some sense of togetherness with one another over these past few weeks. Maybe for you it's worse. Maybe you've lost a job, or maybe you've lost health or a good health. We know what it's like, and we know this sense that the way that the world used to work isn't the way it's working now. And yet, on the other hand, we're not to where what this new world will look like. We're not really sure what it will look like. We're getting to set in this reality that on the other side of this, maybe the world's going to be a bit different than it used to be. Maybe it's going to require different things of us and different skills of us in order to navigate well. I was thinking the other day, just even how do we greet one another? How will we greet one another in this new world? Like, is the hug going away? Are handshakes going away? Are we going to find some other new creative way to interact with one another? How are we going to meet in large groups? There's all these uncertainties that we don't know yet. And we're living between a world that we used to know and a world that's not yet. I think that's where lament can help us. I think that's where we can learn from the psalmist. The psalmist gives us this language of the space between. And the language of the space between helps us to live well in that space, to not push off in this space, to not check out in this space. But lament, this language of the space between, helps us hold both honesty about how the world is working, honesty about how things aren't working maybe like we'd want them to, and it helps us to fight for perspective. It helps us to make choice that we want something different for the future, and we're choosing to set our minds on that. This is what lament's going to do. This is what I think we're going to see through the psalmist today as we follow him through this journey, that lament helps us both to hold honesty and helps us to fight for perspective. So I want to take us to Psalm 42. In Psalm 42, the psalmist, the poet, teaches us a little bit and takes us into his journey around lament. And here we see that in these first couple verses, he starts with a sense of deep longing. He says this, he says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." He says, my soul, his deepest being, thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? There's a sense of deep longing for the psalmist. There's a sense that he deeply wants something. He wants to know God and be known by him. Yet there's a gap there. There's a, when can I go do this? When can I go meet with God? There's a gap between what the psalmist is experiencing and what he longs for. He's living in the space between. And there's grief in this gap. Maybe you've experienced a sense of loss and grief even during this season. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" There's a sense of heartache for him. There's a sense of criticism, maybe doubts whether people here speaking to him, maybe even voices within himself doubting whether or not God is still going to be good. This is what the psalmist is experiencing. He's honest about this. He remembers how the world used to be. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." He remembers what things used to be. He remembers the way that things used to be. And he says, that's not how the world is working right now. There's tears. There's heartache here for the psalmist. But he's honest in this. He doesn't push aside. He doesn't check out. He doesn't deny. He doesn't pretend. He's honest about where he is. And yet that's not the full story. That's one part of his lament. One part is that he's honest about how things are, but watch what he does next in verse 5. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" We know why. He misses how things used to be. He's lost something. He's living in the space between. We know why. But watch what he does next as he fights for perspective. He says to himself, he says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." That yes, on one hand, he's honest. On one hand, he's honest about how the world isn't working at the way that it should, but yet he fights for perspective. He says that there's still good to come, that God is still God. He's speaking this to himself. I love that. I love that he uses language, that his avenue for hope is to use language. He uses speech, that he speaks to himself. Maybe after a few weeks of shelter in place, you've learned the art of speaking to yourself. This is what the psalmist does here. He speaks to himself. Even when he can't see, he speaks something more than what he can see right in front of him. He speaks that truth to himself. There's power in words. There's power in language. Even when life feels overwhelming, especially in those moments, there's power in his words. A 20th century British pastor commenting on this verse said this about our speech and our speech to ourselves. He says, "Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself?" He says, "Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they start talking to you." He says, "They bring back the problems of yesterday." He says, "Somebody is talking." Who is talking to you? He says, "Yourself is talking to you." Now, the psalmist's treatment was this. Instead of allowing his self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. He says, "Why art thou downcast, O my soul?" he asks. So he stands up and he says, "Self, listen for a moment and I will speak to you." Language does something in our world. Language does something for you and for me. Language is a pathway that for hope to be created in us and hope to be created in our world. I mean, just think about language that maybe you've listened to, maybe language over the last few weeks that has caused anxiety or fear, and you know the sense of the heaviness of what that language has brought. Well, the opposite is true as well. We can leverage language to remind ourselves that there is still good to come, that God is not done, that whatever you're facing, God is not done. There's power in language, and this is part of the lament of the psalmist. This is language for him in the space where he's between two worlds. It's language for him to hold both honesty and fight for perspective at the same time. This is what the psalmist does. And yet this isn't fully resolved for him. You can see this in the next set of verses that kind of repeat our first set, but he says it in a different way. It doesn't mean that life has totally worked out for him. Look what he says in the next verse. He says, "My soul is downcast within me." He says, "Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan." He's in a place where he doesn't want to be, whether literal, figurative, maybe you can relate to that, that he's in a place that he doesn't want to be, but it's from that land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. It's from that place that he's going to call out. He's feeling overwhelmed. He says, "Deep calls out to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." If you've ever hiked up to a waterfall, you know, yes, how beautiful it is, but you also know how loud it is. If you've ever been in the ocean and the storm has started to come, and you know when waves can get intense, you know how overwhelming they are. I think this phrase, "deep calls out to deep," is this sense that he feels like all of creation, everything is working against him. He's honest that this isn't how the world should be. He's not comfortable in this space, but he's still fighting for perspective. Watch what he says in the next verse, in verse 8. He says, by day, the Lord directs his love, and at night, his song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. Now, he does two interesting things in this verse. One is that he changes the word here in the original language. This word for Lord is no longer a word about God, but here it's the personal divine name of God. Like he's starting to move from God and what God will do to who, how God acts toward him. And the other interesting thing that he does here is this word for love. This word for love is actually a little bit more dynamic in the original language. It's this word hesed. It kind of carries both the loyalty of God and the love of God. It's this loyal love. It's what other translations of scripture would call the loving kindness of God. It's a sense of what one commentator called it, the unchanging constancy of God. In other words, that God's never going to cease being faithful. That God's never going to leave him. He's certain of this, that like all day and all night, like there's never a moment in the day where God's going to depart from him. Yes, it feels like the world's falling apart. Yes, it feels like the world is against him, but he's setting his mind on this truth that God is, that his God is directing his faithfulness toward the psalmist. This is part of his lament, that yes, he's honest about how the world works, and yet he's fighting for this perspective. Now, as he does that, the world, like I said, doesn't necessarily work out and be all of a sudden become great again. He's still living in the space between. You can see it in the next set of verses, in verses 9 through 10. He says, I say to God, my rock, he says, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? He says, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? It's almost as if the psalmist is saying in one verse, in verse 8, like, I know who you are, God. I know that you're not going to leave me. And at the same time, I'm still downcast. At the same time, it feels like my very being is overwhelmed. It feels like my bones are in pain because of this. He's living in the space between, and that's okay. He has lament. He has lament to give him space to hold both the honesty and fight for perspective at the same time. It's okay that he lives there. It's okay that you live there. It's okay that I live there. And this is what the psalmist, I think, can give us, is this task and this practice of lament that can hold both the honesty of maybe life that isn't working out for you and at the same time fighting to choose a different perspective. The psalmist ends back the same way he did back in verse 5 by preaching to himself, by speaking to himself. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That in the midst of all of this, the psalmist is wanting to fight for perspective. That he sees this language as critical and important. I kind of hear this, and maybe you hear this, and you say, well, that's great. I want hope. I wish I could have hope, but I'm not really sure how to do that. How do you think the psalmist did it? Here's how I think the psalmist did it. This is just my guess. You don't have to agree with it. You can toss this away. Here's how my guess of how the psalmist got hope. I think the psalmist got hope because he made the choice to have hope. I think the psalmist could have looked at his circumstances and made a totally different choice, but here he's choosing to have hope. He didn't hope because everything was great. He made a choice to believe in the hesed of God. He made a choice to believe that this was a God who was for him, that was not done working good for him and in the world. He was willing to fight for a new perspective, and it meant a choice. Sometimes we live in ways that we just think hope will just come upon us, or that we think faith will just come upon us, that we somehow just think, well, I should just wake up with that. And as we saw earlier, no. Sometimes you actually have to speak that to yourself. Sometimes you actually have to make that choice of what you will set your eyes on. This is where faith comes alive. The 16th century reformer John Calvin put it this way. He said, there is nothing more injurious to faith than to fasten our minds to our eyes, that from what we see, we would seek a reason for our hope. He said, there's nothing more dangerous to faith than just simply looking around and saying, well, I've got to somehow make out faith from what is happening in the world. No, the point of this and the point of the psalmist and the point for us today is that we're choosing to set our eyes on something beyond what we see right in front of us. The psalmist was willing to make a choice that yes, everything seemed against him, but he was willing to make a choice that God was not done being God, that there was still good to come. I mean, this is what we celebrated this last week with Good Friday. This is what we remembered at Good Friday and celebrated at Easter, that the goodness of God, that the grace of God stepped into our story and did something in the world. That when the world had been silent for hundreds of years, that when people thought that God had checked out and left, that God shows up in our midst. And through the death of Jesus for us and through the resurrection of him 3 days later, that we can have new life because of him. Means whatever you're facing, that whatever is your story you carry, you just don't feel like it's going to get any better. You can see that God has been working and God will continue to work. He's not done yet. The psalmist gives us this voice of lament, this language of lament to use that holds both honesty and perspective. What can we do with that this week? How can you use that? How can I use that? I want to give us two questions. I want to give us two questions that for one around honesty and one around perspective that I want you to consider. I want you to consider as you're watching this morning, maybe write this down, maybe something for you to take and put in a journal this week or to think through or to talk through with your family or friends. I want you to start thinking through these ideas of honesty and perspective and think about where the language of lament needs to live for you. Here's the first question around honesty that I'd love for you to consider this week is where do you need to name the weight of when? Where do you need to name the weight of when? We saw in the first couple verses from the psalmist of how he talked about this gap, about the space between. He says, I long to know God and be known by him, and yet when can I go do that? When will this be over? When will things be different? There's this gap in the space between, and sometimes maybe you and I don't even realize the weight that when has had on us. Maybe you've been in a place with your work where you want something different and you've been longing for something different. You've been looking for a promotion or a job change or a team change and you're saying, look, God, I've been doing this and I think I've been doing it pretty well. When will the next thing come? Maybe you're single and you've been single for a while and you're thinking, God, when will I get married? Maybe you're a parent and you're thinking, when will schools reopen? Soon, please, we pray, God. There's this weight of when. We know what it's like to sit in the wind. We know what it's like to carry that burden of when will things be different. But sometimes, maybe we don't name it. And maybe the step for you today is just to put it down on a piece of paper. Take the power away that it has over you and name it. Write it down and be able to say, God, in that space, from that land, I want to cry out for you. From that space, I want to know you. And I want to see what you're going to do in the midst of this new season. Maybe you just need to name the weight of when. Second question for us today, second question for you to think through this coming week, to write down, to talk about with your family, is this, where will you choose to look for grace? So we have the honesty about learning to name what's going on in the world, but we also have this idea around perspective of where will you choose to look for grace. This is what the psalmist does. This is what the psalmist does in verses 5 and 11. He chooses to put his hope in God, that in the midst of everything going on, in spite of, or in the middle of everything going on, he chooses for hope. He chooses to look for grace. He chooses to fasten his eyes on something other than what he sees directly in front of him. Here's the thing about perspective, is that perspective is a choice. Perspective is found by those longing and willing to look for it. There is beauty all around us. Sometimes we just have to look for it and maybe look for it in places that you hadn't considered before. One of the things I've been encouraged about during this season on social media is that Some Good News Network that John Krasinski is doing on YouTube each week. All he does is for 15 minutes pull out stories of things that are happening in the world, good things that are happening in the world. You're not going to make it through without getting emotional. There is good out there in the world. But sometimes we just need to look for it. Sometimes we need to be willing to look in new spaces. Sometimes we need to make the choice that to see the good that God is doing in the moment. I mean, think about even your stay at home this last couple weeks. Think about the good that's come out of that. Maybe there's some new good habits that have been built out of that. Maybe you have spent time with your family and you realize, you know what? I've not spent this much time with people I care about in a long time, and I want to make this part of my future. Maybe there's some other habits and just some slowing down and some of your scheduling that you say, you know what? I can survive. I can get by on a little bit slower pace of life. There are some good habits being built these last few weeks. All we have to do is look for it. And if we do that, it helps us carry the language of lament. It helps us see, you know what? Yes, this is our situation right now, but there's something more that God is doing, that he's not done doing the good that he has planned. Perspective is found by those willing to look for it. So the two questions, where do you need to name the weight of when? And second, where will you choose to look for grace? Take some time this week and think through these questions. Think through the ways that God has been at work, both to reveal to you the where you're living in the space between, and also to reveal to you the ways that he's still working in faithfulness, that he is still God, and you can make the choice that week to trust him. He's never going to cease being faithful to you. He's never going to cease being good to you. And you and I, our hope out of today is to make that choice to believe him in that. As you consider these questions, as you live in the space between, I want to pray for you and pray for us as a community of faith. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for this language of lament, this language of life in the space between. We realize life doesn't always work the way we thought it would. The world doesn't often work the way it should or we think it should. But we trust God and we fight for and we choose to believe that you are not done, that you are still good, that you're still faithful, that whatever we're facing, whether it's this season or other aspects of our life, that we are choosing to set our eyes on that new horizon, that you are faithful, that there's still good to come. Thank you for the psalmist. Thank you for the scriptures that we have to learn and to continue to live this life well here, even in the space between. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.